This is Brother Bedford, and welcome to Conversations with Black Millionaires.
Greetings, everyone. This is Brother Bedford, and welcome to another insightful episode of Conversations with Black Millionaire Entrepreneurs, where it's our mission to bring you those brothers and sisters who have taken their ideas, their concepts, their talents, their skills, and their gifts, and they've put them into the marketplace to start their enterprises. And they've been very, very generous in giving that insight back to the community, whether it's through books, shows, conferences, you name it, they've been very accessible. And today is no exception. We have another powerful entrepreneur who's been at this thing quite a long time, and I'm extremely happy for this conversation to take place. This has been in the works for, I would say, a few years now. We've both been meeting each other at conferences, particularly the Power Networking Conference, and working behind the scenes with a dear friend of ours, George Frazier, and we've talked about this conversation taking place, and we've never had the opportunity to make it a reality until today, and so I'm extremely excited to have this conversation. Now, Kim Yancey is the co-founder, president, and chief marketing officer of the eWomen Network. Now, this is one of the most successful membership business networking communities for women entrepreneurs in North America, with over 500,000 women connected to 118 chapters spread across the United States and Canada. Now, Kim is also the co-founder of Live Happy LLC. Now, that's a company that is leading a global movement to make our planet a happier place, and for his efforts, he has been inducted into the Happiness Hall of Fame, and I really want to find out about the Happiness Hall of Fame and see if I can get in there. Now, he is recognized as one of North America's premier marketing and innovator thought leaders. Now, with a legacy of successful ventures, he brings a wealth of passion, creativity, and business savvy to his many interests and ventures. Now, Kim has a very interesting journey, and we're going to tap into that, but he is also a gold record-winning composer and producer. Now, in the 70s and early 80s, he was signed to Capitol Records as the drummer and singer with the legendary funk band Sun, which frequently appeared on Soul Train and in sold-out concerts throughout North and South America. Now, he later parlayed his music skills into advertising and launched one of the top multicultural advertising agencies in the United States. Now, along the way, Kim wrote award-winning commercial jingles, receiving more than 200 awards for his creative excellence. Now, he's also the creator and executive producer of The Glow Project. Now, that's a powerful film that is heralded across North America as one of the most inspiring movies ever created for women, according to the Orlando Film Festival. Now, Kim is equally committed to philanthropy. CNN recognized the eWomen's Network Foundation, which he founded with his wife, Sandra, with an American Hero Award as a result of the humanitarian outreach and support the foundation provided in the wake of Hurricane Katrina. To date, the eWomen Network Foundation has awarded cash grants to 108 women's nonprofits and 161 scholarships to emerging female leaders of tomorrow. Now, I could go on and on and on about the accolades and the awards that Kim has received over the years, but we wouldn't have enough time for the interview. So without further delay, I want to welcome to today's conversation a dear friend, Mr. Kim Yancey. How are you today, Kim?
Brother Bedford, I'm doing great. Really loving this opportunity to be with you and to talk and share.
Oh, man, we really appreciate it, and I've been looking forward to this for some time. Again, just been a big fan of yours from the outside, and to be able to work with you on several occasions and see you work behind the scenes, that's just been phenomenal, and I'm so thankful that you're able to be with us and share some of this insight today.
Hey, brother, I'm a big fan of yours, too, so I really appreciate it. It's mutual.
Thank you so much. Now, I've read and just shared some of the things that you've accomplished throughout the years, but in your own words, can you tell us who is Kim Yancey?
You know, it's funny. When you said that, one of the first things that popped up for me was insecure. And you know, and I think, you know, he's still wanting to make my dad proud, you know, and
right.
He's no longer with us, but it's kind of interesting. You know, I just, with everything you do, you know, for me, I still think about, hey, you know, Dad, am I making you proud? You know, so somewhere in there, that maybe that's a therapy session I got to have with somebody. But you know, listen, I'm a producer. You say, who is Kim Yancey? I'm a producer, and what I mean by that is I'm really into lifting others up. I like being, you know, behind the scenes. I've discovered that that's my zone. That's the place where I really like to play, and that's, you know, looking at something and using it in a positive way to have a positive outcome for somebody else. So first and foremost, that's who I am. And you know, I'm a husband and a father, and me and my bride have been together, oh my gosh, this is like our 39th year together. And you know, and I got to tell you, Brother Bedford, there's a real key to this. Most people are shocked when I tell them this, but I'm very upfront about the fact that, you know, when my wife and I got together, Sandra, you know, 39 years ago, and I said, look, I said, if we're really going to be successful, you look at all the different relationships across the country, we just have to agree to one thing. I said, every single major decision, you've got to be okay with me making that decision. So I'll make the major decisions, and you make all the minor decisions. And she looked at me, and she agreed. And here's what I want to tell you. 39 years later, you know, I have yet to make a major decision. It's never had to happen.
Wow. That's amazing.
Yeah.
That's amazing. Now, look, you had this story. I mean, really, your story, your career is phenomenal just to look at. Now, you started out in the music industry. Let's start there. Now, how did you make that transition from being in a legendary group? Now, we're not just talking about any run-of-the-mill group. I mean, this is a group that me and my friends, the album covers, we used to look at, and to finally meet you and say, man, I remember that gentleman right there. How did you make that transition from being in the entertainment industry to taking those skills and starting your own business?
Well, you know, the interesting thing about the music industry, that was all heart. I mean, that's like, I'm a drummer, so I'm playing it at a very young age. You know, I'm in fourth grade, and I'm playing drums. So that's all passion, just raw passion. And, you know, a lot of the musicians, I mean, that's how we get started. You know, it's something sparks us, we see something. Now, but here's the interesting thing is, through that process, because that's your passion, there's a business side to music. And you know, our first two albums, you know, we did okay, and a lot of struggle. It's one of those things, you know, you have an album or something, and you know, think about the 70s, you know, a person have a national recording deal with somebody like Capitol Records, you just automatically think they got money, you
right.
know, you think they're really flying high on, you know, it with their career, but we were struggling, and the third album, fortunately, went gold for us. It had a song on there called Sun Is Here. And there was a ballad on that album that never got released as a single, and it's a good thing, is because it's the most popular, one of the most popular songs of Sun. In fact, if you go to YouTube and you put Sun on Soul Train, you'll see a whole lineup of stuff that we've done. But the song that I'm talking about, this ballad, was called I Had a Choice, and that made that album go gold. And now all of a sudden, we're touring 1978 and 79. We're touring with the OJs, and they had just come out with Used to Be My Girl.
Yeah.
So they had their full orchestra and all that, and we're with them, and some of the dates were with Natalie Cole. And I mean, it was unbelievable. But as great as that was for us, the next album did just a little less than that one did, and one after that did a little less than that one. And next thing you know, man, I'm back to not being able to pay my rent. You know, you know, it's real common for us, man, when we don't have two nickels to rub together, right? You get a royalty check or you get a lump sum of money. You're buying a car. You're buying some clothes. Last thing you're thinking about is saving that or putting it away. You know, for most of us, not everybody, but for most of us. And so here's what I was faced with. I remember it was 1982. And we were in Rio de Janeiro. We just finished doing a tour in South America. And the leader of the band was also my best friend. And I remember telling him, I said, you know, that I just, you know, Brother Bedford, I just felt like, man, something is wrong here. I said, you know, we're working hard, but this, I'm just seeing this pattern of just up and down and up and down. And I quit. I mean, that was when I looked at him and said, I can't go any further, man. I've got to figure out a different way. with this. And that was my last gig with the band, and I started working on my own solo career. Now, this is the insecure part or the confidence part, you know, and I think it's so important. Then at that time, I didn't have what I call a network. I didn't have, quote, you know, kind of mentors or people in the business or someone that I could dial into that could tell me that, hey, listen, you're going to get knocked down 20, 30 times doing this. Don't get discouraged. Just keep going. And I say that because I worked on my own solo stuff, writing, and I got it to a couple of record labels, and I got some callbacks, and people would say, hey, you're gonna, you know, we want to do a deal with you. And I don't know if you've ever been on the receiving end of someone saying, hey, we're going to do this with you. We're going to do a deal with you. And then they never call you back. You know what I mean? You keep calling them. You leave a message. Hey, you told me we had a deal. I'm sure, you know, this is my 18th call. What's But the bottom line is, that as I was doing that, I was just running out of money and running out of money, and ended up getting with some of my musician friends and said, look, let me, you know, because I'm from Dayton, Ohio, and I said, look, let's do some jingles. And, you know, I remember, you know, it was the first time we did a jingle was kind of comical because we were used to writing songs. All of a sudden we're doing these little jingles, you know, we're laughing because it's kind of giggly funny to us, you know, that we're doing these jingles. But, man, those jingles turned into a thriving business. And even the recording studio I was working in, we ended up buying that recording studio from them because we were their biggest customer, and we were going to other studios were trying to lure us away. And so I ended up using musician friends like Jimmy Williams, Diamond from the Ohio Players. I used from Midnight Star, Belinda. I had all these different incredible musicians that wanted to work with us on doing these jingles and had fun with it, you know. And we're doing these jingles, and those jingles, all of a sudden my clients said, hey, listen, if you're doing these jingles, can you do some ads for us? Can you do some billboard advertising? Can you do some TV spots? Well, I thought, you know, I'll find somebody that can, but we'll make it work. Next thing you know, 15 years later, I got 40 employees. I won an award as Ohio's Black Businessman of the Year. Just numerous awards. We took over the Ohio Lottery, the D.C. Lottery, the Division of Travel and Tourism. I had, you know, car dealer groups. I just had a variety of people that we were working on for 15 years.
Wow. Now, were you exposed? Now, here's something that you mentioned, and I want to see if we can unpack that a little bit. Now, were you exposed to jingles prior to you saying, hey, let's do jingles? What gave you that idea that this was a viable opportunity?
You know, I was exposed to it in the way that all of us were exposed to hearing jingles on radio or TV, you know? Mm-hmm. But I knew, but here I am in Dayton, and I saw, I'll never forget this, I saw a car dealer, Pefley Ford was the name of the dealership in Dayton, Ohio. And he would just stand in front of his cars and say, hey, I'm DeWitt Pefley. We got the best price, best service, best selection. Come on down. It was just like nothing. And I remember, and this was a turning point for me, I remember calling him on the phone. And at that time, I'm in my, you know, I don't know, I must have been, you know, 27 or something. I don't know. And in my, you know, late 20s. And he said to me, you know, do you know how many times I get calls from people saying they got something better for me? He says, look, I'll give you, you know, 10 minutes. And he gave me a date 2 weeks out, and that's it. Then he hung up on me. And I had, you know, here I am. I got this big afro. I got a goatee. I'm looking at them, and you know, because his entire dealership was all white managers with polyester suits, that kind of thing. Now, I don't say that like I'm, when I say polyester, like something's wrong with that. That was just the style.
Mm-hmm.
So, but I remember telling my wife, I said, you know, I don't know if this is going to go that great because he's going to see me and this young guy, and these guys are all in their 40s and 50s, and DeWitt was in his 60s. I just thought they wouldn't be able to relate to me, you know? Just, you know, how you play these mind tricks on yourself. But anyway, I had an idea for him. So I go to his dealership. He brings his people around. I'm in his office. I share with him what my idea and concept is. And then he cut me off. And he says, young man, he says, I'm going to give you the business.
Wow.
And he could see on my face, like, what? You know, like, you know, Total shock, man. He said, I'm going to give you the business. And this, what he said to me next, though, affected everything I did from that period on. Because I never realized that, what he said to me. He said, you know why I'm giving you this business? Or I'm going to let you take over my dealership. And I said, well, Mr. Piffley, I'm assuming you like the concepts, the creative. He says, the concepts are fine. He says, I'm giving you this business because you're excited. You are pumped up, and you're excited for my business, and you're excited telling me about what you want to do for my business. I want that kind of energy in my dealership. He bought my enthusiasm, my positivity, and my energy toward his project.
Wow.
And I got to tell you that impacted everything for me. I mean, you know, and I would go to other people, and that just fueled it, because my thing, but that wasn't a put on for me. I mean, I was excited. I mean, when I came to the table, I was excited about what I was bringing to the table, you know? Mm-hmm. And because I was a musician and I had musician friends, one of the things I could do when I walked into someone, most often, I had already written a jingle. I'd already done a scratch track. So when I walked into that place and I said, look, I got something for you, I played something to them, or a new tagline. And they were like, man, you know, they loved it. Because the musicians in Ohio, and specifically in Dayton, I mean, we had, you know, just unbelievable talent. And so I used that. I did specs for people.
Now, as you mentioned that, Kim, now let me ask you this, and I normally ask this towards the end of the interviews, but I want to ask you now because you touched on something. What do you believe is the number one trait or characteristic that, let's say, budding entrepreneurs must possess? If they want to become successful, what trait or characteristic should they possess, or that you believe that one should possess in order to become successful?
You know, there's a couple things. First of all, I do believe you need to be positive. I mean, people want positivity, and you got to be positive, because that positivity emanates through your body. I mean, people feel it, they see it. You know, if you're having a tough day, bad day, you're having a, you know, you've got to do things and surround yourself with information that's going to lift you up. Because I'm telling you, they will, you know, here's one thing I'll tell you about humans. Humans got an incredible sixth sense. You know, you can pick up all kind of vibes if you're in a store or whatever the case may be. You can feel something's uncomfortable here. I'm in a nightclub. Something's uncomfortable. Whatever. You can pick it up. And that works both ways, with the negative and the positive. So having that confidence about what you're doing is really, really, really great. The other thing I'll tell you is being focused. You know, I think without a doubt, to know, you know, that you set out for the week and you think about, what is it that I want to accomplish? You know, what is it that I want to do? Who do I need to talk to? You know, I think it's really being comfortable with the discomfort of doing things that are out of your comfort zone. I mean, I'm not saying, you know, hey, it's more than just saying, hey, let me do it in spite of my fears, but it really is about pushing yourself into circumstances, into situations where you can, you know, tee up what it is you're trying to accomplish. So in my case, I'm trying to sell more jingles. I'm trying to sign up more clients. Is pay attention to what the needs are of the people you're trying to serve. I will tell you this. I always research the people that I want to go after. And I can't get over the people today. You know, today it's so simple to send someone an email and just open that email and tell them who you are and what you do and what you have to offer. And you don't know nothing about me. You know nothing about my pain point. You know nothing about what I'm going through. But all of a sudden, you just want to push what you've got to sell to me. And in my case, I learned very early too. And there was no internet. There was nothing to look at. But I would see what they were running on radio, or hear what they had on TV, or, you know. And I would tell them, you know, I see what you're doing. Mm-hmm. And I've got some ideas that I think will make a big difference. If we can just sit down and have a few minutes and I'll show you what I've got. And so that's critical. So focus, do your research, And then get busy. You know, just get busy. You know, get out the door, get out the house, and get busy. And I mean, there are other techniques too. There are other things I learned along the way too. You know, everything from my dress style to everything. You know, where I started to mirror the people. You know, if I'm going after certain people, I would, you know, there'd be times for the shirt and tie. You know, in today's climate, you know, you can sometimes look square walking in with a shirt and tie. You walk into Google with a shirt and tie, you're going to look strange.
A whole lot of places, right?
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? A lot of places. You know what I'm saying? So,
right.
So it's really, you know, in my particular case, I'm 62. So anymore, I'm going to, you know, and the kind of business that I'll go after, I'll meet with different, you know, fashion people who will help me, and I'll say to them, "Hey, man, what's a cool hip thing right now? What, you know, what should I be wearing?" You know what I mean? You know,
right.
because I want to look current and fresh. You
right.
know what I mean? Well, that makes a difference because people are sizing you up. I mean, they just are. They're making decisions. They're making, you know, choices. They're, you know, all kinds of things they're deciding on. You can't go after, you know, like a $1 million dream with a minimum wage mindset. I mean, you just can't.
Wow.
You know, so you've got to pull yourself into the environment. And you got to look like the person who can deliver the product or service that they've got.
Yeah, that's great.
Mention one thing. One thing that Mark Cuban is in Dallas, and he came by our office, and we were talking. But, you know, one thing he said, it was so right. He says, you know, most people, and I agree with this, and I want to share this, but most people don't want it bad enough. Most people don't want to work it hard enough. I mean, they don't want to go through the work. And I think it's important as entrepreneurs that we make sure that we let people know that, man, we've been on the ground. I've been on the ground. I've had to call the electric company and tell them, you know, hey, look, what's the minimum I can give you to get my lights turned back on?
Right.
You know,
right.
I mean, you know, the whole thing. Man, I remember taking a girl on a date and being in a friend let me borrow his Cadillac. And I picked her up, and I'm zooming down the road, and that car ran out of gas, man. And if God is my witness, Brother Bedford, that car ran out of gas, and I'm coasting, and I'm praying that I can get to the light because on the other side of this light is a gas station. I get through the light, turn into the gas pump, and the car, I'm able to stop the car and get out right there at the gas pump.
Wow.
I mean, I get out of the car, I pointed to heaven, I said, "God, I can't believe you have my back on this," and put gas in my car, you know, I put a buck in.
Wow, and that's great. And I was going to ask you about some of the challenges, so that was right on point. I mean, most people, as you mentioned, you had this 15-year advertising career and that first contract you got, but most people would hear that and think there weren't any other challenges along the way. So I'm glad that you mentioned about the work effort and calling the electric company and all of those different things, because that's real. As entrepreneurs, the things that we go through, the ups and downs and the struggles on our journey. So I'm glad you mentioned that. But I want to ask you this, Kim. So now that you've had this 15-year advertising agency career, how did you make the transition, or when did the transition happen to the eWomen's Network, the network that you've established? How did that happen?
Okay, so here's the interesting thing, and this is the whole thing with us as business owners. And you know, I own my business. I had 40 employees. I had just finished a big meeting at the state of Ohio, about 20 people at the table. We're all, you know, around the table. I open up my journal as I'm taking notes. Here's the note I wrote to myself while this meeting's going on. Okay, and I'm looking up, and I'm looking very studious and very engaged. I wrote on the note, "This is the biggest waste of time," period. Next note was, "What on earth am I doing here? This is not where I want to be." Okay, now let me tell you what you call that. You call that the beginning of burnout. That's what you call
right.
that. Okay, now listen, I then get in my car to go back to Dayton, and I'm driving down, and, you know, I'm a music guy, so I always have music blaring. On this trip, I turned all my music off. My car was silent. I was in a brand new BMW. I had money in my pocket. You know, I got, I got all the outward appearance that everything is just fantastic.
Right.
Driving in my car, I go around this last turn to get to my office, and out loud, I said in that car, I said, I hate my blank blank job. I'll let you fill in the blanks. I hate my blank blank. And the next thing I said was, and you own the place, you fool. this is the truth, man. And,
wow.
And I felt trapped. And I'm here to tell you, there's a whole lot of business owners that feel trapped. There's a whole lot of people that, you know, you can start something and it can be your own, but you can still be tired of it. You can still be frustrated. You can still have a yearning of something. I was good. You know, that wasn't my intention to start an advertising agency. It was a byproduct of some of my skills.
Right, right.
But ultimately, I had 40 employees, and there's a lot of headaches with that and everything else and meeting payroll all the time. But I just thought, this is not a life for me. So the incredible thing was, I had a client in Dallas that was launching a positive television network. So I was doing some work for them. And while I was in Dallas on the visit, he says to me, we're having lunch, and he looks at me and he says, I mean, you know, you call it divine intervention. He says, Kim, he says, what would it take to get you to actually move to Dallas and take over the global marketing of our company? I looked up at him and I said, really? He goes, yeah, I mean, really. He says, I really want to know, what would it take? You know, what's going to cost him? What is it? And I talked with my wife, and I said, I can't believe this. You know, because of the way I'm feeling, and we struck a deal. And I ended up selling my agency to my employees and moved to Dallas and built a home and became the vice president of global marketing for this new television network. And that was an unbelievable experience for me. It was really great because I didn't realize how bad I had the CEO disease. Do you know what that is?
No.
The CEO disease. Yeah, the CEO disease is you think everybody likes you. Well, so, see, when you're the CEO, everybody's smiling at you. Everybody's, how you doing? Kim, how's it going? Everybody's, oh, can I get that for you? Everybody. Well, when I went to this new company, people liked me, but there are people who didn't like me. And there are people that didn't say hello.
Right.
It had 100-some-odd employees. And I discovered, oh my gosh, I've had the CEO disease all this time. I just thought everybody thought I was really great, you know. Until you get into an environment and you get into a little politics and that kind of stuff, you know what I mean?
Right.
It was just but that led, what was so good about that is that got me to Dallas, got me in a completely different environment. I stayed there for 2 years. I resigned from the company. Me and the owner remain, you know, really tight friends to this day. And I remember telling him, listen, this has been great. He says, but I just can't be an employee. I just can't. You know, I just, there are other things. And I told him there were some directions that they wanted to go in that I disagreed with. So it was a nice way to leave on a high note. And from there, I launched another company. Called ERT1, which is an acronym for the name of the company, which was Each One, Reach One, Teach One. Each One, Reach One, Teach One, which was ERT1.com. And that was a concept that I was creating, a black portal for careers, for networking, and for dating. And I designed the entire concept, and before it was even started on or built out, three companies wanted to buy it. One of them did buy it, which was Matchmaker.com in Dallas.
Wow.
I became the vice president for 6 months of Matchmaker.com, and it was, and the entire company was sold to a search engine called Lycos. Most people don't even know what that is anymore, but Lycos was like a Google back then.
Mm-hmm.
And sold it to Lycos, and I had stock and all of that. And after that sale took place, I got with my wife Sandra, and we talked about what's missing in the women's market. And the fact that she was a corporate woman and had a career. When we moved to Dallas, she really launched her own career where she would work for Coca-Cola and different companies as a consultant. And I said, Sandra, there are people right here in your backyard in Dallas who are looking for you and don't know where to find you, and you're looking for them and don't know who they are. And if you're going through this, there are millions upon millions of other women going through the same thing. And that's when we decided to create a network for women entrepreneurs, and we did that 17 years ago.
Wow.
And from the day we launched it, you know, it was a membership-based community. It cost $290 to join and then $16.95 a month. And from the moment we started, we started making money. I mean, we started signing up people who bought into the dream, into the vision of what we're trying to do. I will tell you this. Now, this is when we started eWomen Network, we had to make a decision because there are all kinds of other projects that I could make. So understand this. When you start a brand new company, you're making no money, none, just no money. So we had to make a decision. She was still getting called for other assignments and things like that, and I had other things that I could do, but we had to look at each other, and I said, look, I said, if we're going to succeed at this, we have to laser focus on it, and we got to put everything we got, time, resources, you know, ideas, into this company. And she agreed. And so we were just, I mean, we were just day and night working out of our home. She was holding court in beauty salons, meeting women and talking to them and telling them about this vision of creating a network of women helping women.
Mm-hmm.
And people joined. They joined before we were even ready with our technology.
Wow.
You know, they were joining, they were buying into the vision of what we were doing.
Wow. And now, as you mentioned, so you this was prior to the technology, and so now we hadn't even began to implement the things that you were doing online later on to get people to join the eWomen's Network.
Exactly. It's
wow.
Totally. I mean, we didn't, you know, now we never envisioned having chapters. I mean, this whole thing was supposed to be a directory. Okay, just go back to 2001, all right, and
mm-hmm.
think to yourself, if you put in, you couldn't put in female plumber or
right.
female interior designer. You put in female anything, you went to a site that you had to get off real quick. You don't want your kids
right, right.
to see. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
So, you know, it just wasn't categorized that way. So our first thing was to put together this online Rolodex, this directory, so women could say, okay, I'm looking for an interior designer, I'm looking for an attorney, I'm looking for this. But it was a way for women to buy from each other and support each other. Well, you know, women loved this concept, but no sooner did we start this concept, they started having little meetings, like little, and then we realized, my gosh, we can't let these meetings just go any haphazard way they want with our brand, our name, and so we found ourselves developing, you know, code and software to conduct meetings. Again, this is before LinkedIn, Meetup, Facebook,
right.
any of that, you know, and we were, Sandra and I were not technologists, so we had to rely on other technology people, you know, that we would hire to do stuff for us.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so but it then started to grow. It just started to grow. The meetings started to grow, and now we have here today, there is no women's business network that's set up like eWomen Network in the country. It's hard to do. What we do, I wouldn't want to start over and do this from scratch again. You know, I think some of that's probably a function of my. I'm saying that as a 62-year-old guy. You know, if I was
right.
back at, you know, 35 or 40, I'd do it. You know what I mean?
Right.
But at this station and moment, you know, I'd be thinking of a different way.
and now you host this an annual conference attached to it as well, correct?
Oh yeah. So we got the largest women's entrepreneur conference in the country. So this is our 17th year of doing that, and that's incredible, you know, because you know it's a 4-day event, and women come to from all over the country to build relationships, write books. I mean, it's like, you know, I tell people all the time, we've really created what is the ultimate resource mall in a way. Think of yourself walking into some great grand mall,
right.
but the products are access. To every resource you possibly need, from legal to business to venture capital to everything you need in one place for 4 days.
Wow.
You know what I mean?
Phenomenal.
It's a lot of fun. It's a lot of fun. And you know, the thing is that we're real clear in our values too. I mean, we have every event we do, the managing directors in those markets read our values to the audience. You know, we're real clear. I owe a lot to George Frazier, because George Frazier is the one who, for Sandra and I, both taught us early on that networking was about giving and not getting. You network to give. And I had not heard that philosophy before George Frazier. Before him, I'd never been presented that. And so the whole network is built around giving and lifting others as you climb, being other-focused.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
That is great, Kim. Look, we could talk all day. I got two other things that I want to bring out, because we've kind of gone through your journey and to see the reinvention taking place. And, I mean, there are a couple more steps that you've taken since the eWomen's Network, and I do want to touch on them because I think they're so profound. And I think they serve as a great example to help so many entrepreneurs who may be stuck in certain areas of their business. So you started this, you co-founded Live Happy LLC.
Mm-hmm.
Can you explain to us what that concept is? Because you shared it with me a couple of years ago, and it was the magazines, but I want you to kind of, how did that start? What was the seed for that? You're doing eWomen's Network, and now you branch off into Live Happy. How did that happen?
The company that I came to Dallas for to work at, the founder and the CEO of that company, like I said, he and I remained friends. And he would come over to eWomen Network. We would always kind of meet, like every quarter we would meet, just because we're friends. And both of us had this same philosophy around, the importance of personal development. But we thought that the word personal development was just was heavy, was, you know, the word personal development conjures up a completely different feeling than the word happiness. And as we both studied positive psychology and really, really got into this, we started working on a whole concept around happiness. And so we launched this magazine, Live Happy, and then we made sure that everything around happiness was based on science. And, I mean, there's just so much to understanding, you know, what happiness means and the impact that it has. And so, you know, our whole idea, and we thought that, you know, this was really going to be, like, just huge, you know, where, you know, people were really going to embrace this. And people do embrace it, but it's, you know, not at the level that we had hoped that it would. But you know, the magazine still comes out, you know, every 2 months. A magazine comes out, all based on science. You can go to livehappy.com. You know, I ran it for a year. I took a year off from eWomen Network to really focus on Live Happy. And after that year, I was able to pass it on to someone else in the company to handle the day-to-day operations, because I just wanted to get it off and running and going and on its way. But, you know, happiness is a It's really the idea of positive psychology is really in its early research stages, and I mean I'm talking 20, 25 years is it, where you know people are getting, you know, degrees and specializing in the in happiness science and understanding it, you know, but that's something that really appealed to me, to spread happiness and to help other people understand that happiness is a choice. You know, I remember one time George was going through something, and I was talking about happiness, and he said, "Listen, I'm not feeling happy right now." He was talking about some of the things going on with the police and brutality and everything
else,
with the African American culture. And I said, George, I remember telling him, George, you're getting it all wrong. Okay, this is not about, hey, we're getting shot at and beat up, and you want us to be happy. No, that's not what I'm trying to say. What I am saying is a positive attitude is going to help you manage this better once you understand the tools associated with positivity and understanding that the choice that you make. Listen, no one ever told me. I mean, I got to tell you, I remember going to a New Year's Eve party years ago. And I planned this party, and my friends came, and we went to the party, and it was the least satisfying experience that I've had on New Year's Eve. Now, you might say, well, how's that so? I mean, I planned it. I knew where we were going, the band, all that stuff. But I had such high expectations that there was nothing I could have done that would have fulfilled me.
Mm-hmm.
Through happiness, what I've learned about this, and I've told my son this too, the same thing. I'm not saying that you don't have expectations. But when you allow yourself to say, I'm going out, we're going to go out this Friday, and you don't have to, and you don't put all these expectations on yourself, you can have an extraordinarily fun time. You can have a fabulous time. Because you're not trying to live up to some standard or some unrealistic motivation that is unattainable. And you just feel this feeling of, yeah, it was all right. You know, and I find that, you know, practicing gratitude, being appreciative, you know, it's really hard for me, Brother Bedford, to get up and even, you know, those times when I'm feeling down, and I do, I have my times when I'm feeling down, but I quickly move myself from that, and I'll say, you know, Kim, you got too much to be grateful for.
Right.
I mean, look at this beautiful sunshine, you know, look at this, you know, look at where you live, look at the people that you know, look at the... You know, you can walk, man. You can walk, and you got all your facility. You get your legs limp. I mean, there's just too much to be grateful for, you know. And so, but I will say this: happiness is a practice. I mean, this is not just like love is. You know, do you remember that movie with Ally McGraw and Love Story? I forget the Ryan's. I mean, something Ryan. But anyway. But there was this movie called Love Story, and one of their famous lines was, love means never having to say you're sorry. That was one of their lines. Love means... Do you remember that line?
I remember that line, yeah.
Okay. Well, how stupid is that? I mean, that's the most stupid, insane line ever. You know what I mean?
Right.
I mean, try doing something that upsets your wife or friend or partner, and don't say you're sorry.
Right.
You know? The point of the matter is that it's a practice. It's something that you practice. By the way, my favorite book on this subject is by a guy by the name of Sean Acor, and the book is called The Happiness Advantage. He taught happiness at Harvard, the most popular class of all time at Harvard, and there was a lot of unhappiness at Harvard, and he talks about that. But this book is all based on science. It's unbelievable.
And it's called The Happiness Advantage?
Yes, The Happiness Advantage.
Okay, make sure we take a look at that. Kim, let's go to what you're currently doing right now. That I'm just in our online space. I see the beauty in it. I see the way that it's helping so many entrepreneurs and business owners to really transform their businesses. It's this concept that you have about celebrity science. So, what is celebrity science, and what can that do for those entrepreneurs and business owners that are listening today?
Yeah, you know, right now. It is unprecedented, the noise in the marketplace. I mean, on the internet, I mean, you're just, all of us are bombarded with somebody's going to teach you how to live your life, how to be successful, and so you're just being hit every which way but loose. And so what celebrity science is really taking the same principles of that are used by a superstar and looking at how an entrepreneur goes through five of the same steps that a superstar would go through, but there are three more that take a superstar over the top. And I really get into that. And so celebrity science is about maximizing the full essence of who you are. And but as an individual, it's almost impossible to do it because it's really hard to be your own trial judge and jury. I mean,
right.
you know. So what I do is I work with this strictly. This is far beyond just a makeover. When I'm working with someone, you know, I bring them in. We spend a day on strategy, what they're trying to do, what's working, what's not, what do you want to do, what's your dream, what's your passion, all of that. And then from that, map out a plan that includes like a photo shoot. I bring stylists in who dress you. You don't even bring your clothes. So we have people who dress you, makeup and hair people. Because what we're doing is we're taking your vision of what you want to do, and we're crafting you. We're crafting that vision that you've got for yourself, but we're making it happen. Because if you try to make it happen, most people will derail themselves. Most people will. And so we do that. And then video is so critical to this today. I mean, if there's one thing that everybody gets from this is that, you know, the value of a one-minute video, and this is according to Forrester Research, is 1.8 million words. A one-minute video is the equivalent of 1.8 million words.
Wow.
That's the equivalent of 3,600 typed pages. If you write an average of one web page an hour, it would take you 150 days of writing to achieve the impact of one video. Now, if that's the case, and that is the case, you better make sure that one video is done right. And so what we do is we work with our clients, and because we want to position them as thought leaders, as the premier people in their category, in their lane. And then we create, you know, videos, video messaging that people want to share, people want to, you know, like and love, you know, on this content to grow their celebrity. You know, I call it, someone can come to me and you know, after spending a couple days with me, and when we get finished with them, they would have gone from who they are right now to being ready for NBC or ABC. I mean, we just automatically just up-level who they are. And then, you know, we've got a whole social media team, marketing team, website team, and so we're all connected, and so we're all congruent in what we're trying to do. And so then we put together social media strategies, you know, a whole list of things that we go through based on what the person wants to do. It's no cookie cutter thing here. This is not a cookie cutter. It's just based on what they want to do, we implement a plan to make that happen. So we craft celebrity. And the science part of it is all of the technology part that's related to social media, you know, LinkedIn, Facebook, all of that. We've got experts who know how to buy the right time in the right places with the right people to make it work and track it and that kind of thing.
So as you just mentioned, so this is, as you stated, this is way beyond a makeover. This is really developing the messaging, putting it in video, giving them the look, the feel, the scripting, and even actually implementing the marketing to
right.
help them to bring in the traffic or create the leads that they need. That's a powerful service. Now, how can one get to that service? What do they need to do, Kim?
You know, I put together a video that explains it. So all they've got to do is go to celebrityscience.com. After you watch the video there, that's the only thing you can do is watch the video there. There's a form you fill out. And just complete that form, and then we take it from there. We have a conversation. So we talk about what you're trying to do. The budget for something like this, let me give you an idea. The budget for something like this will range from $5,000 up to $100,000 or more. Now, the range has everything to do with what we decide we're going to do together. You know, so some people start and we do, you know, some people start and we have a, you know, a two-hour conversation because there are certain things that, you know, the good news is I've been doing this and I understand this pretty well. I'm a marketing and branding guy. So I'm able to cut through a lot. You know, like I can go and I can look at someone's website and I'll just know immediately, you know, here's some things that got to be have to be fixed right away. We don't have to have a long conversation about that. You know what I mean? You know, or they might have some videos or something they're doing. So the range all depends. Are we redesigning the website? Are we, you know, are we doing, you know, one or two tips or a couple? Are we doing a, you know, someone who wants to be a speaker? You know, we do incredible speaker demos, and there's a certain way we do this that's unique and beyond what anyone else is doing because they just don't understand, you know. You know, eWomen Network does over 2,000 events a year, so, you know, I really understand what people need in a speaker demo.
Right.
And you know, or we do a speaker introduction. You know, I tell people all the time, you know, now you happen to do a phenomenal job introducing me, so that you're the exception. But very often you give someone your bio and they just tear it up, and, you know. So we do things from doing speaker introduction videos, so when before they come on stage, they're getting a standing ovation before they even come on stage because the video set them up so good. So,
wow.
Just everything here is very, very strategic, and we look at the plan. And once you join Celebrity Science, you're always in Celebrity Science. So you know we're always there to help you and to help you move to the next level, to the next level, to the next level.
Wow. that's awesome. And that's celebrityscience.com, correct?
That's it. Mm-hmm. Wow. Celebrityscience.com.
I mean, you have so much that you've given us today. I mean, so first and foremost, going back to the eWomen's Network, that's an annual conference, and people can join the eWomen's Network by going to where?
Just go to eWomenNetwork.com. Just go there, eWomenNetwork.com, and you'll see some buttons there, and you'll see conference. Just click on the conference button, and it gives you all the details.
And the magazine is still available?
Yep. You can go to livehappy.com. And order the magazine right there online. It's in Barnes & Noble. But you can go just livehappy.com. And it's great content on Live Happy. You know, even if you don't buy the magazine, just this unbelievable content at livehappy.com.
Right. And I'm sure a lot of people can use some happiness with what's going on in our current environment nowadays. So greatly appreciate it. I want to make sure that people get that. And of course, last but definitely not least, they can go to celebrityscience.com to get more information on how you take these concepts and really bring their ideas to life with the entire rebranding packages and marketing and everything. They can go to celebrityscience.com, correct?
Totally. That's it. That's
okay.
It.
Kim, I could talk to you all day, but I do want to ask you, leave us, do you have any parting words for the entrepreneurs and the business owners who will be listening to this? What would you leave us as some parting words?
Just make sure you're surrounding with people who support you and believe in you and don't pull you down. You know, if you're feeling the tug, if there's something that's, you know, that's holding you back, you know, really pay attention that you know, no one ever talks to us, Brother Bedford, about, you know, each year, you know, you get a little less, you know, energized, so to speak. I'm talking about physically. You know what I mean? I feel good, but, you know, there are things I'm not doing at 62 that I was doing when I was 40. I'm just a little more, you know. And so all I'm saying is that, you know, you can train yourself to be limiting. You can train yourself to do that, you know, and so that's what I'm saying. Get comfort with the discomfort of getting out and networking and meeting new people and challenging yourself, you know, but especially pay attention. You know, when you walk in your door at home, when you get home, you know, does the light shine bright or does it start to dim, you know? And if it's dimming on you, you really need to address that. You know, surround yourself with people that are positive, that bring light to your world.
Wow. Kim, this has been great, and this has been a long time coming, but it's been well worth the wait. I thank you so much, my friend, for joining us today. And I'm looking forward to seeing you. In a few weeks, I'll be seeing you. Hopefully.
That's
real.
Right.
So,
yeah, we're going to be there.
Yeah,
me too, Brother Bedford.
Yes, man, this has been great, Kim. So, look, we want to thank you all for tuning in. This is something that you definitely want to share. You want to make sure that you listen to this several times, take notes, and really absorb some of the things that Kim shared with us today. And again, make sure that you share this with your family and friends. And we hope that you will join us next week for another insightful episode of Conversations with Black Millionaire Entrepreneurs. So take care, everyone. Once again, thank you. And Kim, thank you once again for sharing your time with us today.
I appreciate you, Brother Bedford.
All right. Take care.
Thank you for listening to my conversations with Black Millionaire Entrepreneurs. And if you want more tips, more strategies, more notifications that would really take you into the mindset of these brilliant Black Millionaire Entrepreneurs, I need you to take out your phone and text my brother, that's the key word, my brother, to 58885. Just text the keyword, my brother, to 5885. Or if you prefer, you can go online and just go to blackmillionairemindset.com. And once you enter your name and your email, I will immediately send you my video training, 10 Keys to Unlock Your Own Millionaire Mindset. So again, you can go to blackmillionairemindset.com, enter your name and email, and I'll send you the video training, or you can text the keyword, my brother, to 5885, and I'll make sure that you get the video training. This is your brother Bedford, and I look forward to seeing you and hearing from you in the next Conversations with Black Millionaire Entrepreneurs. Take care.